Amy Thompson, how the hell are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Saturday, and Saturday of the day off. I have coffee, weed, and dog kisses. It's a good way to start the morning.
Man, that's no lie. That's no lie. That's no lie. Did you have a show last night?
I didn't. Nope.
Nope. Okay, so you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. So my name is Amy Thompson, and I, I'm a person. And I'm a funny person, and people started to let me go up on stage and say jokes into microphones, and now they even pay me to do it sometimes. So I do stand-up comedy in Sacramento and around, like, the Bay Area. I'm also by day a secretary.
Oh, nice. You're a secretary by day. Can we talk about what you used to do for a living?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's like a bigger – I used to be a teacher.
How long were you a teacher for?
So I was an official teacher for 3 years, but then I was a would you call them, like, the official name was like coordinating teacher or teacher coordinator, but it's really like a student teacher, but there would be times I had to like take care of the entire class myself, so it made it feel like an additional 2 years. It's just you don't get paid really for it, so it was like,
is that like part of your student teaching?
You have to prove yourself to be a teacher, so there was so much of that job which was always like, can you really do this, show me again, can you pay this to show me you can really do this? And I did 5 years altogether, 3 years official teacher, 2 years the side teacher, and then in education for a long time, like 10 years, 18 to 28 education.
What age group were you teaching?
As an official teacher, oh man, kindergarten 2 years, that was my jam. And then I got second grade my last year. That was the year that kind of like broke me down and made me leave teaching.
What was the difference between the second graders and the kindergartners? Like how much worse could they get in 2 years?
It wasn't that. So I actually did third grade and fourth grade a lot. And that's what I thought I wanted. I didn't know I wanted kindergarten until somewhere in the middle of teaching kindergarten. I was like, I like this. I like these kids. I like what we do. But I went to a different school and it was a charter school. Which a lot of charter schools are good for the family. And then there's some charter schools that are really bad for the teacher because they don't have the same kind of like regulations. So they could just do meetings all day, like, not really be fair with your time for what they ask, kind of a thing. And the school had a lot of that. Like, so I was at work. I would usually get there around 5 to 6 a.m. And then I would stay until sometimes midnight, just to keep up with what they wanted me to do, like these standards for this charter school.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Then so you taught for a total of 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And then you were done. What broke you? Or like, made you say?
Actually,
like,
so I left during Christmas, like break of my third year. And it was. I don't like remember a lot because I do block out trauma, but I'm almost worried about saying too much, but no one's ever going to like listen to this that knows. I was having issues with one of the administrators. She was actually like my age now. I was in my 20s. She was in her early 30s. And she had been a friend. And I think that there was an element of that wasn't great. So the school was failing. And she was looking for people to take it out on.
Yeah.
And she was going through people and she eventually got to me. And I like had a really debate because I loved my students and I had never could like I just this is what my plan for life. It's what I have to do. I hadn't thought at all about what I actually wanted. And she like it was like the last day, and I remember she was really trying to get me to cry the last day, and I could tell that she was sending people to my room, like calling me, just doing stuff, took away my break, just doing these things to make me cry. And I had never cried in front of my students, and I was not going to cry that day, and I didn't. But at the end of the day, I thought I need to substitute. I'm not going to be able to come back in tomorrow. I just need a substitute teacher. So I was going to write sub plans, but I liked to write really good sub plans so that my sub wouldn't be like confused. So I wrote sub plans, and then I thought. That took me to 9 p.m. At 9 p.m., I said, I'm going to need 2 days off. So I wrote a second set of sub plans. And that took me to, like, pretty much midnight. And then I had this panic attack where, like, I felt like, okay, I got my plans and they're on their tubs. But my hands started shaking and I couldn't breathe. And I just knew I needed to get home. And I was so afraid that the people, like, a cop would pull me over for drunk driving. I made it home, and my dad, who I live with my parents, and I did at that time, my dad stayed up, and I had stayed up to make sure I would get home safe, but he was asleep on the couch. I walked over and I gave him a hug, and I was still shaking really bad. And he like woke up, and I was like, "Dad, I don't think I could ever go back to that school." And then he was like, "You know, if you're in this state, you probably don't ever have to." And I did. The next day, I went in at night, and I loaded up my classroom with just the stuff I took from my classroom, just things that mattered to me. I gave them so much free shit. Oh man, like $6,000 worth of stuff I left there. And I loaded up all my stuff that was sentimental to me there, like maybe a picture from my desk. And like, it literally was just like a pair of headphones that were mine that I use these for fun. And I left my resignation letter in there. I didn't give them any kind of week's notice because I couldn't handle it.
Wow. I'm sure you don't regret leaving that job, but do you regret not getting to say goodbye to your students?
Ooh, and this is where I went. So before I had started the school year, when I got my class list with their addresses, I had wrote them all a letter saying like, "I can't wait to be your teacher and to meet you." And I like put little stickers in. So a bunch of them had my writing address, and a bunch of them actually wrote to me.
Wow.
Not a bunch, but I had like four like wrote to me. It was
That's
just,
a bunch.
It was really, and for a while, now they're like that. Those kids are like older now. They're probably like sixth grade or something. I would have to do the math. 20, yes, like sixth grade. But for like a few months after them, and even like with their parents, yeah, we kind of wrote back and forth. Yeah. And because there's a lot of bullshit in education, and people can see goodness sometimes in people. Like,
yeah. And so never thought about going back into the classroom? No.
I hated teaching. I never wanted to be there in the first place. I cried when I got my first teaching job. I remember crying, and I was like, "I just want to be happy." And I was like, I was supposed to be happy, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. What led you to the stage?
Oh, luck. Like
luck?
I can't believe how fortunate, blessed in so many ways my life has been. So I did have like a come to God kind of moment where I became convinced that there is like something out there that loves us all unconditionally. And the goodness of that in that last year of teaching, right? Actually, like a month before I left, I was in that breakdown. And then that's kind of, I did a lot of mushrooms and other things that kind of solidified this idea, which has made me braver, I think. But it was just by chance. It was like I had been dating, but that was exhausting. I just wanted to hang out with people. I just wanted to and I had tried to find hobbies post like teaching, but it was hard to go back to like, what did I used to do before teaching? It was like video games, but that cost so much money to start playing again because I was all out of date, like equipment. So I was trying to find hobbies, and I'm like, what did you love to do before you started to just do what everyone told you to do? And it was write. I loved to write. I loved to write sketches. So I wanted to find a writing sketch group. And so I did, but it turned out it wasn't a writing sketch group. It was a comedy writing group. And they were all old, and I never see them around, but they were all a lot older than me. The one closest to my age who lives in Marin County now was in her early 40s. And she was dope, though. She moved to Marin County for a relationship. But both me and her had never been on the stage before. And so we went to the first open mic at Stav together. She didn't go up, but I went up. But I went up like 17th. Like third to last, not 17th, whatever they had that night. It might have been 12th. It felt long, but like, yeah. So that's from that group was kind of how it started. Is like the guy who kind of ran it or taught it, really. He lives in Maine, actually. So everyone like moved off. They all were older. They all had other things. Told me that I should consider my writing for stand up, and I really respected his opinion. And at first, no one laughed, but I knew one day they would.
Do you remember who brought you up?
For Stab?
Yeah.
I am trying so hard. I don't remember.
Do you remember anybody that was there that night?
I remember Dave Shapiro was there. David Shapiro was one of the first. Yeah, he was very, very nice. And he told me I should come out more often. They'd been filming the Stab show beforehand. I later heard the episode that I knew was the day that I came into Stab for the first time. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. That's a Stab show episode.
Oh, wow. Wow. So... Okay. So that was the first open mic, and then you walked away from there, and you're like, "I need to do that again."
Did you get a laugh? No one laughed at all. No one laughed. There was barely anyone in the room. Everyone was tired. Like not even my friend that I went there with laughed because she had heard my stuff so many times. Like she didn't even laugh. But afterwards, she was like, "I'm moving, but you should keep doing this. You really." And I actually did feel at the end of it, I was like, "I can do this." I remember Ashley and Monique killing. Like, I know this. See, that's like,
it's not even fair.
I know, that's what I'm seeing. Like, the level of Sacramento where I was like, because then after that, I wanted to know my next place was fucking Laughs, like a dumbass. Like, I'm over at Laughs and bombing my ass off. But like, that was
at the writing group, the Tuesday night writing group.
In the writing group, yep.
Yeah.
The writing group really helped.
Yeah, does it?
I don't think I would have stayed with comedy after the.
After the first, well, yeah. After the first bomb?
Well, after my friend moved to Marin, because she was like going to be my person to go to mics with, but she just had a better opportunity with like a basketball player. So like she's just like, I think she might be with a Golden State Warrior, former Golden State Warrior or something. So she had better shit to do. and so I was like, I had to get over. I mean, a lot of like my last few years of life have been learning to do things alone. And just the power in that, that I used to be so codependent. Like I always need a friend. I guess I got into the right place. Because I did go to last writing group alone, and I just showed up there, and people were nice. Chris Green gave me the PDF for all the mics, and like,
Chris Green had a PDF.
Or he actually has text message. So if you ever want to get a hold of Chris Green, that's how you find. You just gotta text him, but you're not gonna find him anywhere else.
We're laughing because Chris Green is a local comic who is not on social media, yeah. And he just appears randomly.
He always has. Different jokes. He has different. He has the best joke on titty sweat. That's like.
Why does he have a joke about titty sweat?
About like it's always his last year. He has a new titty joke every summer. I guess. I mean, this is just what I've noticed. Last year that was his titty joke. This year it's something else.
Okay.
And some other kind of thing. Some other kind of titty in the summer joke.
Uh-huh. He's fixated.
Titties in the summer. Like,
yeah, he's fixated on titties in the summer. I mean, what guy isn't, right?
Yeah, something about him in the summertime, like that. It's the ripest time.
When did you realize that? Because about going to open mics, I was the same way in the beginning too. Emily Peterson was my ride or die partner in the beginning, mm-hmm. And then realize I got to do it on my own, and I can't have like a buddy for the open mics? Because you go
that night, that very night of the first open mic, my friend told me she wouldn't be able to go to a second one with me because she was going to be moving soon, like within that month, and that I should keep doing it. And so I like went to the next month. I went to Laughs that next. So that was in March. And then I didn't go to Laughs until April.
So is that like March of 2022, 2021?
2022. Yeah. Cause COVID had just like was ending. Cause I don't remember. Actually, I don't remember wearing a mask in the audience at STAB, but I probably had one in my backpack if I wasn't. Cause they had then STAB closed down again. Like in April for a little bit, that next month when I went to Laughs.
Do you think that the time off during the pandemic, like all the time that we sat at home doing nothing, did that give you a sort of it's now or never attitude about doing something like comedy?
I didn't think about comedy at all. I thought about comedy, and a month later I went up at like the open mic in February. So it's like during that time, I didn't, but COVID was a big reset, I think, for people's lives. Like, things really, I went into COVID engaged. I came out of COVID not engaged. Like, it's like a big,
Do you think COVID was a big part of the breakup?
Things had to be about, like, there's certain stuff we were putting.
Were you guys living
with.
Together?
We did try. Let's say that I always kept my stuff at my parents' house because I didn't want it to get dirty. Because he was just like a dirty person, and he never cleaned. Like, that was like a part of it too. And then it's like with COVID and everything, he never cleans out the cat's litter box. Like, it's really hard.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah, it was rough. It was, people will always apologize, like comics, for their cars. Now, comics always think they have dirty cars. Fuck no. I'm so glad that some comics have not seen. There was a place I used to shower and felt dirtier after the shower.
Ooh.
Like, I mean, if I would have to. So it was like the massive amount to clean to. It was like it was already like this. I couldn't just come in and redo it. We didn't live together that long. Like, it was, again, I would leave all the time. So I could go get fresh towels and different things like that. Like, it was not a marriage that should have ever happened, or even it was a relationship. I was a relationship. I made a mistake in even getting in the first place. And I,
Do you think you were like enamored with the idea of marriage and a partner, and you're just like, oh, well, this will do.
No,
I'll make it work. Were you a I'll make it work person?
You weren't in the Johnny Taylor class the first time. I told the story of my engagement. I got like, he never planned anything. I had to plan everything. So I kind of paid for it all. Well, when we had, he was my high school boyfriend, but we re-met while teaching. He was working in special ed, and I was the second grade teacher. This was actually a different, I used to do long-term subbing. So I was like teaching for a year, but I was technically the official teacher, but not exactly.
Right.
So we kind of re-met during that year and became like really good friends again, really good friends again, emotional, because I was in a relationship. So I was like, we're just friends. And we were until we got out of that until I ended the relationship I was in. And then he told me, he couldn't be my friend. And I got scared because that relationship I had been in was my longest relationship. It had, and we had lived together like every night, slept next to each other every single night, 5 to 6 years. And I, was scared about not having like anyone. And I didn't want to lose my friend too. I should have fronted on him. I should have been like, fine then. Like, but I didn't. I was like, all right, then we'll be boyfriend and girlfriend. And that led to a couple two year dating. And then he, one day out of the blue said, I want to take you out. And I was like, oh my God, sounds great. Cause I want to take you on a hike. I'm not a fucking hiker. Like I hate being outside. Like and he knew that, like he knew me, but I was like, you know, maybe he really just like, he wants to go on this hike. And I was excited. He was planning it. Then he sealed the deal for me. He goes, we'll go get Chinese food after. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Sounds great. Like,
he knew, yeah, right? Did he know?
He knew he was going to propose to me. He had the ring and everything. I didn't know. I just thought, I didn't know he was thinking in that place. We went out for the hike. I remember it was Christmas time and I wore like a Christmas sweater. Like I didn't know what to wear for a hike. And so toward the end of it, I'm like, I did this for the Johnny Taylor class. I have a whole thing and it's all true. I was thinking about the Chinese food the whole hike. Like as I got tired and hungry, I'm like, oh, we're going to begin some egg rolls. Like just hang on a little more. So towards the end, I'm actually leading the way because I could see the car and he like shouts out. He's like, hey, Amy, and turn around. And he's on one fucking knee. And I just knew if I didn't say yes, we weren't going to go get Chinese food. Like it was, that was going to be it. Like we were going to have to already ride in the car together there. Like what do you say? You can't get out of that. There is no way that I was going to get an egg roll that day if I didn't get engaged too.
So you got the, are you still a fan of Chinese food or does that mm-hmm. kind of, okay. All right. I'll say, did that kind of ruin Chinese food for you?
It did not at all. It did not at all. In fact, like I even think of the place that we went, I'm like, I got to go back there. That was a pretty good, it was in Locke. That little town of Locke. Or Isleton, I mean, it's Isleton a lot.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a super little area, but no, the Chinese food there was dope. Best part of the night. I would have married them again. Yeah. I was like, do you guys cater when I was in there?
And now it seems like with comedy, you're too busy for a relationship. That's how I feel.
Actually, I want to ask you about I am.
Oh, you want to ask me questions?
Well, I mean, a lot of like comics, I'm so perplexed by like, most of us are not in relationships. Like, I think we're not. And then all of a sudden someone shows up with like their hot wife and it's like, oh damn, you got this great thing going on too. How do people manage it? Like the last relationship you were in, was it while you were doing comedy?
I've had a couple of relationships I was doing comedy.
I haven't had any.
But it was, they were great.
Did they come to your shows?
A couple times. Okay. Yeah. A couple times. Yeah. But not a lot.
Wow.
But,
do you get nervous with them there? Like,
no, because confident? I prep them. I let them know that it's like, hey, like I'm working and I'm going to be real talkative and I'm going to talk to people after the show. And, yeah. and like, I'm not going to run to you after the show, you know, and I'm not going to sit with you at the show.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they don't like that.
Oh, I can see, like, I have people, like, my parents come, but they have each other. Like, I don't yeah. have to, I don't have, but if you have someone there, like, a significant other or a date, like, I mean, I've seen at this point, there's some, like, I don't know if you follow the Candid Comics. Yeah. But that's Jordan Kirchner's girlfriend. So she just started to photograph the events, and they were dope. Like, we all got these cool pictures and stuff. And, like, so she's kind of integrated herself into the scene and become kind of, like, a part of it, in and of itself. So, like, that, I think, is, like, the ideal. I'm like, that's awesome that you, if you have someone that could find their niche in the comedy
within the scene, yeah, and it's also and part it, of it, yeah. not like just
exactly,
yeah.
Even like Patrick Ely, his girlfriend will watch everyone set, like, you know, she'll, when you talk with her, she'll compliment certain jokes you did, like, she remembers things, she'll even notice, like, oh, you added that tag from the last time I saw you. That's like, makes herself a part of it too,
right?
And I can see why that intimidating for some, but that's the only way I could ever see it working. It's mm-hmm. like a case like that where someone could be that integrated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. And like the way I look at it now, like my comedy is my yeah. relationship. Like, and I'm constantly working on it, and I'm constantly yeah. trying to make it better and see how I can treat comedy better and yeah. get the most out of it. I don't know. Like,
it's so fulfilling. Like, so in so many relationships I had, I got isolated from other things. Like, it became just me and that person. But comedy is like a different relationship in that it's a community. Like, I'm like, I don't know, the least lonely I ever felt. I've met some of the best people I have ever met. Like, I've learned to trust people more. Like, I've met people that just do nice things to do nice things. Comedy has introduced me to such a wide variety of amazing people.
Yeah, yeah. And it worries me about, but I try not to worry about it too much, but sometimes I'll think about it, like, what if I do get in a relationship in the future? Like, how am I going to balance it?
Because yes. yeah.
I barely have enough time for comedy right now. Like, I got to schedule it. And, like, you know, it's like, I don't know. Like, but
I guess I have free nights, but I'll fill them with comedy. So it's like, I guess I could have a date, but there might be a part of me that would be bored. I'd be like, let's go hit a mic. Like, I want to do that instead. Like,
yeah.
I want to go talk in a microphone.
Yeah. Or my date would be like, oh, there's a show. Let's go watch this show. I'm not on it, but let's go watch it. You know, like, so-and-so.
I hope I do a guest set.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always kind of hoping for a guest set, right?
I'm still too in love with comedy right now, probably to make good sacrifices or good compromises with someone.
I have let's transition a little bit, and definitely one thing I absolutely want to talk about. We're going to get to that, but how long do you spend every day writing puns? Do they just come to you?
Usually, it's actually like it takes me days. So I'll have an
because
idea.
They're so intricate.
Like, I'll have an idea. I'll have, like, something, like, I'm trying to, what was one of the ones I did? Oh, I don't know if I've said this one yet. Did I do my pickpocket one? Did I post the one about pickpocketing?
I don't know.
So I was thinking about, well, first.
Well, hold on. Let me give an example of one of your puns.
Okay, good. I'll see, like, my thought, because what my thing I was going for with it.
If you inhale while yeah. blowing glass, you'll get a pain in your chest. I hate you.
So,
boiled eggs can't be good. Beat.
That's from eating boiled eggs, and then me being like, you can't, like, I just was eating a boiled egg, and I like boiled eggs, and I was like, oh, I could do a pun on boiled eggs, and like I was trying to beating it because you can't beat them. It just ended up being that. Yeah. Sometimes I'll have something I know I want to connect, but I can't get it to connect.
I love when TV repair people get married. The reception is always excellent.
Yep. That was, I was thinking about, like, the reception at a wedding, and like, if it's not a good reception, you're going to want to play on your phone. I'll hopefully have good phone reception. And then I was like, oh, if you have like a cell phone guy. And then I was like, and then I thought TV repairman would make more sense.
What do you spend a little bit of time every morning thinking about your outfit of the day, or is it something that, like, oh, I look cute today, this is an outfit of the day?
Oh, I plan outfits. I plan and I catalog outfits. I've actually been doing outfit of the day for years. I don't have all of them saved, unfortunately, but I have several years of outfits saved. I categorize and, like, know my clothes. I like to put stuff together. When I was a kid, I liked to do, like, paper dolls. It's almost disappointing. I can only dress up one time a day, because
that's not true.
I don't like laundry though. I'm so bad with laundry.
I hate laundry. How much clothes do you must have? A ton of clothes.
I do. I have had stuff for years. A lot of thrift store things, a lot of hand-me-downs.
Isn't it great being an adult where so you could like have a shirt for 10 years?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I like, oh, that it's so nice. I do get worried about that a little bit where I'm like, shit, I can never grow out of my clothes. I'm going to have to be the same size forever because I can't afford new clothes. But also from having the hand-me-downs and doing like used clothing, I got a pretty good variety of sizes. So it's like I've learned some tricks for getting clothes to fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's...
And you love thrifting?
I love thrifting.
What's your favorite thrift shop in town?
I mean, I guess I'll go...
Like you got one afternoon to thrift and you got some extra money. Where are you going?
I mean, like Goodwill's like a classic. The Goodwill's a classic and you can get so much bang for your buck at Goodwill. There's a lot of like cute, more consignment stores like around...
Is there a particular Goodwill that you would head to or a particular consignment store that just you're like, oh, I want to go to that one?
See, I'm thinking of a loop because I have like a loop I do because there's the fancy Goodwill, which is a little more expensive. It's the fancy Goodwill.
Where's the fancy Goodwill?
It's in Midtown, like on L Street, I think it is.
I pass by it all the time going to Prest. Yeah.
So I do that one. And then there's Freestyle Clothing Exchange.
That's also in downtown.
I used to just trade my clothes with Freestyle so I could have new clothes. It's like I would, you know, give clothes that I didn't like and then they give me store credit and then I could get new clothes. But the one in Midtown never wanted to buy my clothes or they never wanted to trade clothes with me. However, Roseville.
Really?
Like, yeah, Roseville always was
your fashion sense is banging in
Roseville.
Roseville.
It makes so much sense, I think.
Well, those are good people.
Yeah. They are. I was at Roseville on Thursday doing Alvin Duke's con. Oh shit, you were there too. You were the judge. We were all there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Roseville was dope. I liked that. That was a sweet area of the lounge chairs. I liked it.
You went up super late.
I did. I was, like, almost last. I had my whole set, and then there was, like, a part where I was, like, I'm getting so tired that the only way I'm going to do this is if I read, because I was writing out new stuff to stay awake. I was, like, I love everything I just wrote. I have to say this all.
Uh-huh.
And then, which is, like, not for competition. That's an open mic thing. But there was a point where I was, like, all right, I've lost it. I've lost the competition, so I want to make it fun for myself.
Were you sitting there going like, I could beat them. I could beat them. That one's good. That one's good. I don't know if I could beat her.
Because I didn't know if I could beat anyone because I hadn't gone up yet. And sometimes I don't know for sure how it's going to go.
Yeah.
I'll go up with the same material and it could go well. And I could go up with the same and it's not going to go well. And I've seen every comic have their night at least once.
Yeah.
And I'm like that. Like it was such a so many, and then at the end I was like, oh yeah, Justice, that was excellent.
Yeah.
Like I just like I'm glad you guys were the ones taking notes and stuff because I would have almost forgotten it in just the list of comics. But she had a great set.
Yeah,
definitely deserved
Jess
to win.
Had a
yeah.
good set. You know who else had a good set, but they didn't fill the whole 4 minutes. Scott Hoyle.
Oh, he did.
Scotty.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think
dude's
he's so
fucking
funny.
Hilarious.
He's savage. Yeah, he is so funny. This actually made me realize another reason why I'm not a good teacher. I basically have like a certain sense of humor, and Scott Hoyle has like the sense of humor that I think is so funny. Like it's the bear joke. The first time I ever saw him go up like on stage, he did that bear joke, and I was like, "Who the fuck is this kid? This kid's so funny!" Like the bear slumber party. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He goes, "Where are you gonna go with that?"
Do you ever? Because this happens to me all the time. Okay, this happens to me all the time. Tell me if this happens to you. I will be sitting at an open mic or at a show, and I'm watching every comic go before me, and I'm like, these people are fucking funny. I'm nowhere near as funny as these people. What the fuck am I doing here?
Sacramento and, oh, not even just Sacramento, the Bay Area. No, fuck yes. I have been there. Oh my God, yes. I watched Paul Conyers go up at one of the Bay Area open mics and just kind of...
That's not fair.
I know. You're just like, it's not... That's what I think. Like, that's why it was hard to start comedy because like you said, you're sitting there like, oh, these people are so much better than me. Like
you go to an open mic and you got to go up like after Kyrie Shabazz or like Robert Emoto, or, and it happens.
I've
like,
gone after Kyrie
all the time.
Shabazz.
Yeah.
I bombed. It was at Comedy Spot. It was
my second open mic. I was after Robert Emoto one night, and he had one of those nights where he was like, "Man, fuck this crowd, fuck this audience, fuck you." It was one of those nights.
Yep, gets everyone
and
in
he
him.
Just riffed on the whole room.
Yeah.
And then was like, "I'm out of here," and then like left and I had to go up after that.
So about dating, guys.
Yeah. You know, so I just like went up there. I was like, so I ordered the salmon and
yeah. Oh yeah, You're right, though. He had Denny's. The Denny's.
Oh my God, I love his Denny's salmon joke.
That is such a good joke.
I laugh every time I'm at a Denny's. I'm just like giggling anytime I'm at a Denny's.
It's such a solid joke too, because it's always it. You know, if it doesn't work, I. It's a sad night if that joke's not working. But he does so much of the riffing on the audience, so much of the roasting, that it's like, I don't know. He's an excellent comic. Has the perfect like combination there.
Well, he's been doing it so long. I mean, but he is excellent. He's excellent. He works hard. He's given me so many tips and tricks over the years.
Oh, yeah, watch the podcast. I watch his old podcast.
The greatest tip that he gave me is that helped me just like so much is I set a timer on the stool.
Oh, okay.
So I have a timer on the stool and I know exactly where I'm at on during my set. And let me tell you, Amy, it is such a cool flex every time the host or whoever walks up to me and says, "When do you want me to light you?" And I say, "You don't need to light me. I won't go over it. And they're just like, and
but that's like that's a skill for you too, because that you have to kind of keep your eye on the timer.
Sometimes
I would I might get too caught up in something that I'm saying and miss it.
It's helped me so much, and I set a time. I have my timer up. And I know exactly where I'm at. Well, I don't always know exactly where I'm at, but I know exactly how much time I have left, so I know I better wrap it up or just trim the fat.
So do you use it on your phone?
Mm-hmm. I have this app. Watch. It's probably one of the ones that's going to...
See, I'm always filming my sets, though, so I can never bring my phone on stage.
Well, you need a second phone.
I do need a second phone. Or I need just, like a hand timer or something.
Yeah, see, I just set that on the stool.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so that's right there on the stool in front of me. Sometimes I get confused and I forget if it's going backward or forward.
Yeah.
So, but I just don't let that. Yeah, I don't film enough of my sets, but I do have a setup. I do have a backup phone that I'll take with me sometimes and film a set, but I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. I guess I'm high and I don't want to fuck with it.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It's why do we film our sets? We film our sets to like get better at comedy. But why do you set the timer? To get better at comedy.
Yeah.
Like, so it's two different things. Like you're still doing something like to improve it, and that might help even more. And sometimes my sets, watching them doesn't help.
And I need to film my sets because if I see one more picture of me like this. That is how many times do I strike this pose during my set? It must be 1,000.
That's so funny you say that, because I know, like, I'm like, oh yeah, that is like your pose. We all have that where we realize I have a certain face that I'm like, I must make that face all the time.
Yeah, I must do this 1,000 times during every one of my sets.
What joke is that?
I don't know. That's not even a funny pose. I don't.
Yeah.
I look like an old man, like wondering when, like, I don't know, but.
Are you going to do that for your headshot?
No. I don't want to do that for my headshot. Okay, let's pivot. Let's talk about, because I'm so fucking, when I saw the post and I saw the concept and the idea and the venue, I was like, this bitch.
That is.
Dress to Kill.
I know. This is.
Tell me all about Dress to Kill. Where did it start? How did you get the idea? Have you seen the movie Dress to Kill?
No.
Okay, there's late 70s.
Cher did a song for it?
I don't know. But anyway, tell me, Dress to Kill.
Oh, man. So this is actually the name even. It was so...
So Dress to Kill is a show that you're about to produce.
It is. So it's so I'm on this podcast. I'm going to plug this show because I really think everyone should come out.
Yeah.
It is Sunday, 9/17, September 17th at the Callback Bar. My hope is that I sell enough tickets and I get enough buzz that I can... quickly settle some other dates, either Callback Bar or at other venues, maybe also doing shows in some of the other areas I like to do comedy at, like Chico or even Reno. I mean, that's like the overall hope. So where it started, comedy is one of these things I found that I really love. I also have always loved, I hate to say I love fashion, because I think as soon as you say that, people will like look at you and start to judge what you wear. And even me posting about the show, I had people saying like, well, I don't have style. Nah, style's your thing. There's no, I don't believe in what's in season, what's out of season. Wear white after fucking Labor Day. Like, wear brown with black. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, what you feel good in, what you're like that. Sometimes it's like an aesthetic trivial part of our soul, like a creative expression. That's why I was excited to do it too, is doing comedy. I'm like, we have all these people that dress, so I don't know, everyone's just got their own thing, like their own kind of personality and their different varying kinds of styles. everything down to very casual to, like, you know, dressing up more. And I thought, I mean, every moment of comedy has been something I love. I'm like, I love writing. Wow, I love people. Like, I love drinking, which I really like drinking. There's some of that in comedy. I was wondering
if we're going to talk about that.
And I love the style. Like, I love how different and unique all these people are that I meet. And, you know, and I love dressing up too. Comedy gave me a reason to dress up. I used to dress to kill myself. Used to be my joke. It's just, I was suicidal and I would just dress up and then just, like, lay in my bed or, like, you know, wait for, I don't know, something better to happen. I had to go out and find it, but I did. So I wanted to combine the things that I loved. That was, like, the idea for the show. I'm trying to think of when that came about exactly. I kept feeling very pressed. Like, I need to run and I need to produce something. That about 6 months in, I kept feeling like I got to produce something.
Everybody needs to produce something. I just want to get that out there to the masses. Like, produce your own show.
Everyone does. Take your time to produce if you want. I'm glad I did, because I was going to rush into it at the beginning. I was looking more into doing, like, an open mic, running it. So glad I didn't, because it would have taken the time away from, you know, me eventually coming up with the idea. Or I guess I can't say I regret it. I think it just would have been different. I didn't do that. There's so many amazing open mics ran by some of the most amazing hosts and comics, you know, both as host and features around. So many good female run open mics as well. So I'm glad I didn't end up doing that. But I guess I knew I would have to produce something eventually. And so I had some ideas. I thought cosplay comedy. Well, that's already a thing in the Bay. So I was like, all right, can't really do cosplay comedy. I remember Logan Farr did something with the jiu-jitsu and comedy. And I was like, okay, that's a cool combination. He took something he really loves and combined it. What do I really love? And it was fashion or costume. So I was trying to figure out something. And I think I had written out all these ideas for a show, or things I might wanted to do. And so I had the cosplay comedy, and remember I crossed it out. And I think I just had, like, comedy fashion show was just one of those, the other thing on there other than the cosplay one. And then I kind of put it out to the universe. Like, it's good. If I get gain, it all goes back into love again. Like, I just want this to be a way to show off the people I love and to bring in some other groups of people I care about. Like, my sister-in-law used to work in, like, the kind of the retail business. And I know people who are very, you know, they like fashion, they like clothing, they like that kind of stuff. So I'm going to combine these groups. I got so lucky with the venue. It's funny because, like, I put it out to the world, but I'm kind of a nervous person.
I'm a huge proponent of putting it out into the universe.
Yeah, so I had to say, and I just had to wait because I was too scared to kind of, I was like, well, maybe something will happen. And I was so, like, I really will say blessed. I had the opportunity arise where I did have to do a little something for it. I had to reach out, but I got an in from a comic, Dorian got me an in with the person who books for Callback Bar, and I sent her my ideas, and she said she liked the fashion idea.
Wow. Also, you sent her a couple of ideas.
I think I at that point I wanted the fashion one, and I sent that one, and I said, if you don't like that, I have this other idea too, because I was thinking I would reach out to the Bay Area. If she didn't like the fashion one but liked the cosplay one, I was going to reach out to the Bay Area cosplay comedy people and be like, hey, I want to do something like this in SAC, and then, like, see if, but then that would mean I would be kind of, it would partnering. Be their idea. Yeah, it would be like, I would be attempting a partnership. Like, I got this venue in SAC, you guys want to, but I'm glad it's my own thing, because I am hoping to, I'm really, with. I know I will. I know this is going to work out.
I think there's already such a buzz about this show.
I am.
And who's going to be on your first one? Are you hosting?
Yes,
are you hosting or headlining?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
I'm hosting. And it's, so I wanted to do a being like.
Have you hosted before?
I have. I have. I hosted. I guest hosted open mics, and I host more open mics, I think, than shows. I think I've only hosted, like, one show.
Hosting open mics is exhausting.
I figure if you could host open mics, you could host a show.
Definitely.
I said that's what I picked up on. That it can be exhausting.
Who do you have on the show?
All right, so it's
you're gonna have to push her away.
No, she's gonna talk. So it's for, I have seven. I was going, I'm going that, to do like a.
That's Penelope breathing hard, by the way.
It's not me. It's the dog. I thought, man, to do a competition. So that way, because I loved Josh's format with the By All Means, where you get to see so many, like, oh my gosh, he's like had every awesome comic I know on that show, mm-hmm. on the By All Means competition at some point or another. Have you done that one?
Yep.
Did you win?
No.
Oh man, I'm so, you probably, depending on your group, like you could have easily won.
I can't remember who won.
Oh man, I can't remember who won my group either, but I like got to meet a lot of people. So I thought I like that idea of a competition because then you could have a prize. And then I thought, oh, so I had like some ins and stuff with people that used to work at different thrift stores or me also like shopping there doing like with the trading with Freestyle. I'll get a gift card from one of these and then that could be the prize and they'll advertise. They could be a place that'll let me put up a flyer. But then I thought if I have comics from outside of the town, like I can't do local ones. So I might like, so then that's like putting a thing of like, where do I want to get a gift card to? Should I just do Target? Like I want it to be some kind of like retail place as the prize. However, I got a videographer for it. So I have a friend of mine who's going to do some filming and stuff. So that way we get good clips for later and good pictures for, because everyone's dressed up or dressed their way. Everyone's going to be looking fucking dope. Like whether or not they even dress up, everyone's going to look good. I saved money on that. So I was able to pay the comics, which is a big deal to me. It isn't as much as they're all worth, but these seven comics, all of whom are worth so much more than the $25 I'm going to be able to pay each of them. Like, I feel this is like a scam.
Dude, but making $25 like, bucks is sweet.
These are such comic, but they're these are such talented people. So I
who do you have? Are you gonna?
I'm gonna start with Kendrick.
And are you gonna remember all seven? That's what I'm. Oh, yeah. That's what
Kendrick.
I'm curious.
Because duh. The Kendrick was my first. I used to want to do an open mic and have best dressed of the mic. So I used to kind of do a best dress when I would be at an open mic, and it was always Kendrick. So I told him, yeah, I knew when I did the show when I was working that Kendrick would be the first one I would reach out to because of this.
Yep.
And then Ray Dean, who. Awesome energy.
You know, okay, so like Raydeen just throws together these wild outfits and they always look so fabulous on
they
her.
They are her shoes. Yeah. I love her Crocs. She's the best Crocs I have ever seen. And then I have from the Bay Area, Ashley Tomlinson. I don't know if you've met her before.
She's I've never met her, but I heard of her.
Bar. She did barbecue and burgers. She runs an open mic called OMG. She's from Crockett. And she's a teacher, a current teacher. I don't know how she does it. She's currently a teacher. I get a feeling that I really love her as a person. I think she's hilarious. I think she's a good mix-up for our lineup. I also think that my friends and family that come out, she'll really appeal to them too because I have some teachers that I know are going to come out and I think they're going to find her hilarious. Fernando is – I actually forget his last name. I'm like – I'm going to pronounce it wrong. It starts with a G. Also – snappy dresser. He's a Bay Area comic, also Crockett. I saw him at that mic with Paul Conyers. He had on a shirt with, it was like little popsicles, all little ice creams. It was a button-down shirt, but the pattern was all ice creams. It was dope. So I got two from the Bay who have been really nice, awesome people that I you know, thought would be a good lineup. I'm trying to think of who, oh, I mean, I know who else, but I'm, so I have Josh for sure, which is a steal. Oh my gosh. It's so nice of him to do this. And he's been, I mean, for everyone, kind of a good go-to for questions. And when I started to produce the show at Callback Bar, I kind of was like, because you have to submit this proposal thing. After they approve you, you then have to submit another kind of proposal thing or just like a little write-up. Ends up not being as big of a deal as I made it, but I like put time into this and I was sending Josh like I think screenshots and everything of my plan like is this okay
and he's responding to you and giving that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, it's not
shout out Josh Means yeah. Right, yeah.
Then I mean I think so many of us younger comics like have him to thank for like, that By All Means competition or a roast battle getting us like that very starting mic time show time and stuff getting people on good stages. So I feel really honored that
absolutely.
He's a part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I was thinking that
he was
about
willing
that the
other to day. Be too. I like yeah. I yeah that is also awesome. And then so I'm thinking who are my other two. So I have Maddie Matthias Vasquez. He's from the North Bay. So he was actually a fill-in. He was my I had a dropout I was going to put in another female because my dropout was a female. And I went to do a competition in the North Bay and I wore overalls. And this fool had on overalls too. Totally different overalls. I've already known him from like doing comedy up there, but he got up there and he just fucking killed. Yeah. Oh, and Jordan Quattlebaum, definitely. Like, again, Jordan, another huge help. And Jordan was such an awesome guy because he was always very helpful and very like he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He has a solid relationship with his fiance. He's never a creep or anything. Super nice, super informative, and very experienced. He knows a lot. He's been doing comedy a long time. And when I first started comedy, basically he and Mark would let me just show up on their shows, and I knew that Jordan was going to be nice. And like, if he could get me a spot on the show as like a guest set, he would. And Maple Bomb podcast was like one of the first ones. And Maple Bomb and Random Thoughts is like, I spent a whole like year listening to all those episodes and getting to know people from them.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of the Maple Bomb podcast.
Also, Jordan, they're all hilarious. They're all, where I'm so excited actually for my, the people that I have, the friends and family I'm coming out to see them too. Not just them, to see all of them, but I'm like, damn, these people are. It's just going to be, you hear the jokes that the comics do, but then to see them do them from like your dad, like your dad's there or something, it's just extra funny.
It kind of gives you like, like validates what you do, right?
It does.
Because like your parents are there and they're enjoying it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep. And
because we're always chasing our parents' admiration and
yep.
You
know, yeah. I'm like, oh, they're going to, if so-and-so does this bit, they're going to find that hilarious. Or like, oh man, they're going to, who's going to get that crowd work question? Who's going to get tricked? Like, I'm so excited for that. Really, that's what it is I wanted a show that combined all the things I love. What do I love? I love fashion. I love comedy. And I love my friends and family. And I have found a way. And I want to share my comedy friends and family with my not comedy friends and family. And because my not comedy friends and family have a lot of love, and I think so do the comics. There'd be some good, not putting matches together, but just enjoyment of show and company. There'll be a good audience.
That's
they'll
awesome.
Like the show, they'll be entertained. I can't believe it's worked out like this.
I'm so happy when
even
I saw
the flyer.
That,
I don't even know, yeah, how that came together. So nice.
Yeah, when I heard you announce the show, I was like, this is gonna be awesome. That this is right up your alley.
And I'm so excited. I'm like, I really,
yeah, am. And on a Sunday at the Callback Bar, that's such a great spot, such a great day.
Yeah, it is.
It's the day after my birthday.
It is. It's Super Sharma's birthday.
Oh, is it?
It's going to be, yeah. Because I was thinking about having him on, but I was like, maybe not for the first show, but I definitely want to have him on.
Yeah, maybe like the 5th or 6th.
Yeah,
7th,
yeah,
or 8th. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Actually, it's even the 2nd to make up for the fact I didn't have him on his birthday. Because like, I actually do have a thing where I'm like, hey, when I start booking the show in the future, I will look around, like whose birthday's around, and be like, yeah, oh, so-and-so, if their birthday's around, that's like a dope person to have on. Like,
yeah,
I love birthdays.
Yeah, it's nice to have. Yeah, yep. All right, Amy, we're going to move. Wait, let me make sure we got everything. We got, we covered Dress to Kill. We talked about your puns. Have you seen Barbie?
No.
Are you going to?
And I really need to, because that's like, I've been getting kind of like, and this is a very hard to say roast, because it's almost a compliment, but getting like some Barbie remarks lately. And I'm like, oh, I got to see this fucking movie.
Do you have
like
an outfit picked out? Have you already, you've probably already thought about what you're going to wear if you go see Barbie?
So I had a Barbie outfit before they had a Barbie movie. Like I had a Barbie Halloween costume thing. Actually, on my birthday, or the day before my birthday, I filmed a podcast with Julian LaCrosse in the Bay, and I'm wearing my Barbie dress. I didn't know Barbie was going to come out. I just, mm-hmm. It was my birthday, so.
Okay, so yeah.
I have a few Barbie outfits.
All right, okay, so you got to see Barbie, because I've seen it twice now.
I used to have all pink before I went rainbow. I had all pink stuff. It was like.
Dope. Okay, we talked about teaching, and okay, we're gonna move on to 5 easy questions.
All right,
are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
I know I kind of cheated. I looked ahead.
No, I gave you guys the questions ahead of time, so you didn't cheat. You didn't cheat. So quit flexing like you're a cheater.
You're right. I did. I just used strategy.
Yeah. All right. Question number one: who or what inspires you?
All right. So I am corny. I'm a fucking corny person. Love inspires me. I like, in the human, love between each other. I even like finding love of self, like seeing someone have confidence in themselves. And the world lies to us so much. We don't know what really loving ourselves looks like. But there is a certain confidence in self that is so beautiful. And I get to see that with like comics going up on stage. Fuck, that inspires me. Like seeing the interactions like between people. I love watching people in love, and not just like romantically, but like at a wedding, seeing the mom and dad of the bride look at each other and have that moment like, oh man, there's our baby. Like I love that shit. So I'm so inspired by the human experience. I'm continually impressed by my fellow humans' ability to exist. And like every single person I know has had hard things to deal with. And
everyone's got a story.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, there, you might think like, oh, like I could never handle that. Or like some, you know, my problems aren't as bad as that, but we all experience things differently. So I've seen people go through things I can't even imagine. And I might have stuff that, I mean, I was saying something even about like a mental illness not that long ago. And someone was like, wow, that I couldn't imagine that. That must be so hard. And it shocked me that someone would have that like outside thing. Cause like I can live with it every day.
Right on. Okay. All right. Love. I love that. I love that answer. What are you binging right now? What are you just taking in? What are you binging?
So roast battles right now, because once I get a roast, I kind of like go into roast mode, which is just, and this is so fucking hard. I'm having a really hard time with this roast. It is.
Who are you roasting?
Lourdes Ione. She's gorgeous. I know. Oh my gosh. Jesse, I am dying. I have this whole strategy for roast, and it's love. It starts with love. Every person I've been given to roast is someone that I really like. And have you often had a very good, like, recent one-on-one moment with?
Yeah, I think you better watch out, because Lourdes, I think she's a silent killer.
I'm not even worried. Like, I don't mind getting roasted. They're so goofy. That's why when I binge the roast, you would just say the silliest, stupid shit. Like, it's not even about the person. Like, the way I write, I just take out the, like, very surface traits. And it might even just be, like, female, like, you know, mom. Like, and then just try and write jokes on really these traits more than I do the person. Because there is absolutely nothing bad to say about Lourdes. In fact, like, before I write roast, I think about everything I love about that person. And I just like really, wow. I spend like, depending on how much time I'm allowed for the roast, at least if I can have 2 days, that's awesome. Just to keep thinking about how great that person is and like how happy I am I met them. And like, I'll do that. And then I'll be like, all right, now let me pick apart their traits and then start writing jokes.
All right. So you're binging roast. And when are you roasting Lourdes? When is that?
Wednesday. At the Callback Bar. Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Question number 3.
Dude, you should see my notes. I seriously am like, they're so bad because I'm like, okay, she's from Tijuana. I have just one thing. It's not even a roast. I just wrote down Chihuahua. Like, I was like, maybe I'll come up with something. Like, it's so dumb. But like,
I don't... You racist motherfuckers.
Like, yeah, it's like, everyone knows, like, that's Jesse's joke.
I love doing that joke because someone always says it. It never fails. Someone will say Chihuahua. You racist motherfucker. Okay. What are you afraid of?
So this is like, I answered this question and then I like went back and re-answered it because I first like was going to go into the whole thing about I dealt with anxiety for a lot of my life, and a whole big theme has been conquering fear with love. So I was afraid to go to the writing group. I was afraid to go to Laughs Alone, but you know, finding things I love. So I'm like, I don't want to say what I'm afraid of. But truthfully, my anxiety is still here. I wake up every morning, I have to fight it off. So I was like, well, maybe be honest. What are the things that I'm afraid of? And the roast battle was one. I'm like, I'm really nervous about, like, not nervous about it, but it's, I love writing, but maybe it's just that there's a part of me, not that I take them seriously, but like I really want to do a good job. I really want to keep the audience entertained. First of all, I want to show love to Lourdes, at least in that these are silly, that they're so, because I like to go the route sometimes of just like weird or like silly. And she's gorgeous, so I can't say you look like a queen. Like, if nothing, you look like things. So I was scared of that. Like, I get a little nervous. I'm scared about my show failing, even though I know it won't. Like, obviously, just because I love it so much. And, like, you know, scared of, oh, man, there's like one, I'm scared of, I have one thing that's like not too big. It's pretty normal. Let's see.
Spiders.
Oh man. Oh, I am afraid of spiders. That's why I have to sleep in underwear every night.
Okay.
Because spiders, because they told you it was, this is, so I have to say this is a joke now. It's not. It just became a joke. Like I said it on stage for the first time, no plans. No plan to say it. It's just a truthful statement. I always sleep with underwear because I was told as a kid, spiders will crawl. Spiders like warm, dark, moist places. So while you're sleeping, they'll crawl in your mouth. My mouth is not my only warm, dark, moist place. And I just like, I always wear underwear, especially camping and shit. Like, hell no. I know there are some spider coochies people don't know about. Hurting people. Ah, man. Yeah, that's. Yeah, my shoulder. I guess that is all of what I said. I'm trying to get over fear with love, and I'm nervous about everything.
All right. Okay.
I'm scared for Front Street shutting down because I don't have money to help them yet, and I'm like, just wait to the first, guys. Hang on to the first.
They'll make it. They'll make it. All right. This next one's kind of fun. You're on death row. What's your last meal?
I love that you asked this because this was my boss's icebreaker question on Tuesday. So I got to like, and oh, wow. I floundered with it, and then he actually had. I started to panic. I was like, me and another coworker were like, we can't answer that. There's so many foods that are good. And my boss was like, all right, what's something you could eat every day? And then like my coworker said something and like, I can't remember what she said. And he kind of asked her and she's like, nah, I guess not every day. So we really thought about it. And it's almost hard to answer this. So I like that you add the last meal element because favorite food is hard to answer because I don't know what's my favorite food and what I think is because of being a girl and people being like, you have to diet, so you have to like this shit.
Oh, shit.
But last meal, you don't give a fuck. I'm not waving away the dessert cart. So it's my last meal and I could go all out. I want a full-on breakfast with all the breakfast foods. I want pancakes, French toast, and waffles. I want bacon. I want sausage. I want tofu bacon and tofu sausage. And also turkey bacon, turkey sausage. I want eggs, scrambled, tons of them. I just want the whole breakfast. That's like one part of it. And then I can't eat breakfast every day, though. It's just my last meal, so I get it. I committed murder, guys. Come on. What I could eat every day and would also have for my last meal, French fries with a ton of things to dip them in. I love French fries and I love different dipping sauces.
Whoa, wait. What are your favorite French fries? Wait. Okay, let's do two categories. What's your favorite French fry like from a fast food joint? And then what's your favorite French fry that you've found at like a local eatery?
God, good. Cause Riverside Clubhouse. It's it's like at the end of Broadway. It's like old Target by an older Target.
They do the best. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And it's just a cute little area. It's like it's not super expensive, but it's really pretty. And it's just like the perfect sit down kind of little restaurant. And their fries are fucking phenomenal.
The Target on Broadway?
Yep, the one at the very end. Yeah, it's right over by there. And you go in and like they have this whole back area with a fountain. It's the perfect like I want to take someone on a nice like birthday dinner or something. That's like a perfect spot to go. And then for fast food, Jack in the Box all the way.
Jack in the Box fries.
Yeah, the curly ones.
Oh yeah.
What
are you dipping them in?
I actually will ask them for every sauce they have, and not spicy. I'll say every sauce that you have available. Can I have a couple of them?
I love dipping fries in honey mustard.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah. Oh, honey mustard is bomb. Fuck, yeah. That me too. I love the fries. I even love the fries and ice cream. I do that. Made a milkshake with French fries in it before.
All right, we're ending this shit.
Yeah, it was bad. It wasn't good. My straw could not handle it. My straw was like, I'm not bringing this to your mouth. Like,
oh man. Okay. And last question, theme of the podcast, Amy Thompson. What's next?
Oh man, I'm excited. I'm like, what's next for me today? I might go to Grocery Outlet, but I'm like, what do I want to do tonight? Is Front Street going tonight?
I don't know.
I know. I haven't seen anything posted. However, I know it's gone on nights and hasn't been posted. However, it's Stephen Ferris's birthday tomorrow. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think like.
But he's having a birthday party tonight.
Or he's like, he's doing like a movie night thing. I have like nothing to do. I don't have nothing. That's like my thing that I kind
that's
of
your
put
fallback?
On. Yeah,
that's
I was thinking Front Street and then going over there after, but I might just then do that. If there's Front Street's not doing its thing, I might just go there earlier than I planned then. and catch the full movie. That's actually probably exactly what I am going to do.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. I hope he's still having the party. Otherwise, I'm just going to show up and be like, hey, 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 can I watch a movie? So I'm excited for that. Oh, tomorrow, me and Brian O'Halloran. He's the postman. He's a newer local comic.
Yep.
We have a show in the Bay Area. An improv comedy show. We do regular comedy, then we do improv sketches based on our jokes. So I'm definitely going like balls to the face.
You do improv?
I don't. I only do it like unofficially when I've been on shows that have let me, like when Reno's done something, or Stab has done something, like, but never taking a class or.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have you on the book report someday.
Yes. I want to do that one. And I also just saw that the Comedy Spot does like, it's called a Taste of Improv or something. It's like
Taste Test.
Okay. I really want to check that out.
I think Stab's also going to start doing like a one night, like a.
Oh God.
Like
I love a, this. I love yeah. this after COVID, how flush things are getting.
Yep.
Like I know there's more comics now on the scene. I'm like a post COVID person, but in all the time I've seen comedy, I've just watched it flourish.
Yeah.
Just having shows pop up, mics pop up, things shut down, more comics. I love it. I think Sacramento's, if it's not already, we're going to be recognized as one of the funniest places on earth.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'll see that before I die. And I maybe people won't know I was exactly a part of it, but
you are definitely a part of it.
I'll know I was, and I'll know all the people who were. I think getting like the hooked up, that's also why I care about the Roast Battle Bay Area. I'm like, I want to rep the Bay and Sacramento well, because I think that's going to really, I mean, that already has helped us get a reputation in other states. So then people will come out to Sacramento. That's the hope. People, it's a funny destination.
Dope. All right, Amy. Yeah. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was a lot of fun.
Thank you for letting me talk so much. That's why I love podcasts.
You're great. All right, man. We're out. Bye.
Bye.